Mace, Finn, Gnadonic, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Trevor Maddich will join us for his weekly conversation in the next segment, roughly 4:20, 4:25. Also later this hour, Willie levied a serious charge against me when I was on vacation.
Yes.
Very serious.
And,
yes.
And I am going to respond to this later
I agree
this
with
hour.
Him too.
Okay.
I want to hear your argument because I was very disappointed.
I am
very
prepared.
Disappointed.
I am prepared to respond to, again, the serious charge that you have levied on me when I wasn't here to defend myself.
No, you were not. Your ears must have been
but
burning.
But that's typically when we do it. Stuff like that happens. You know, whether I'm gone, you're gone, or Willie's gone.
You opened yourself up.
Yeah,
I did.
That's the picture.
Exactly.
I did.
And
that
then
is
answering
true.
The question. You could have just ghosted us and said, I'm on
exactly.
vacation. And then we wouldn't have known.
I'm not one for ghosting. If somebody's going to text me, I'm going to respond. Nevertheless, we will get
it
to that.
It has to do with breaking and entering.
Yes.
Yes.
We don't condone it.
In a sense.
We don't condone it.
In a sense.
We do not condone it as a show. No.
But, because it's not really breaking in.
Yes.
But this is what we did. The rule of the gym rat.
We will get to the gym rat rule later this hour following our conversation with Trevor Maddich. But as I mentioned at the start of the show, Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, he and Dan Graziano, maybe somebody else as well, ESPN's top NFL reporters, they went on the training camp tour over the past couple of weeks. And Jeremy Fowler made a pit stop in Nashville to attend a Titans training camp practice. And he wrote this in his notebook, quote, "While the Titans have been pleased with Brandon Allen's presence as the primary backup quarterback, they will monitor free agency or potential trades for veterans over the next month. Allen looked capable of handling QB2 duties from what I saw," meaning Fowler. "He has been productive in camp," end quote. So according to Jeremy Fowler, the Titans will monitor free agency or potential trades for veteran quarterbacks over the next month. We spent a lot of time yesterday discussing that age-old debate. Are young quarterbacks better served by starting immediately or sitting on the bench and learning a little bit? Derek, you are adamant that Cam Ward specifically, throw him out there. But I do believe that you left the door open to Cam sitting if the Titans were able to find a more battle-tested veteran backup quarterback, certainly more battle-tested than Brandon Allen, and I'm not going to even mention Tim Boyle. So I find this to be interesting because pickings are slim.
Yes.
When it comes to quarterbacks. Now,
man, are they slim.
The Cleveland Browns have roughly 15 quarterbacks on their roster. They added another one today. Snoop Huntley joined the crew.
Who the Titans have a victory against.
That is true.
In the last 12 months.
I believe Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel are nursing injuries. I did see a report that Shedeur Sanders is expected to start the Browns preseason opener. Derek's old friend Joe Flacco, top of the depth chart right now for the Cleveland Browns.
The old man still ticking.
Still got it.
Exactly.
But the only name brand quarterback on the free agent market right now is Carson Wentz. So if the Titans are...
So we're thinking name brand.
Yes.
Carson Wentz. In name only.
We might be stretching the definition of the term name brand. But when I looked at it, he's the only player that popped up. Teddy Bridgewater was on that list. Now he's got a job.
The fact that he just got like in trouble for doing things as a high school coach, right?
Yeah, he was just helping
kids.
That
was the same Teddy Bridgewater, right?
Yeah. It is the same Teddy Bridgewater who has now played or been signed by at least three
like, okay,
of the four teams.
Me. I was cheating. I got to get back into football. And somebody signed him. When's the last time he played?
Maybe 2 years ago.
Teddy Bridgewater.
No, he was on the team last season.
He was Jared Goff's backup in Detroit. Mm-hmm. Late last season.
Yes.
Okay. But so how many games did he so
he didn't play any.
He was ahead of Hendon Hooker?
Yes.
In the playoffs, he completed his only pass attempt for 3 yards and a 45-31 loss to the Commanders in the divisional round.
So he was called upon.
Teddy Bridgewater, by the way, continuing his tour of the NFC South. He's now played for the Saints and the Panthers, and now he joins the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Hey, he was pretty good for my Saints several years ago, but
he's not bad.
No.
But the fact that he could just show up and get a job, it makes you wonder if Ryan Tannehill just raised his hand and said, I'd love to, if anybody wants to call, I'm out here.
So my
somebody would give him a tryout.
But
right?
My question is, how strongly should the Titans consider that?
I think they should. Listen, I know that Brian Callahan is probably satisfied with the situation he's in now with Brandon Allen. I'm not sure how satisfied he is with Boyle after that. But, you know, you brought him in specifically because he's familiar with the offense that you're running. But it doesn't seem like he's turning heads in mini camp, meaning in camp right now. He's not doing anything that even comes close to, you know, pushing camp for a starting spot. And I'm not sure he's that far ahead of Boyle when it comes to, you know, the backup role. Now, time will tell. They got some preseason games in here, but time will tell. But if there's going to be a situation where you sit, where you have to sit Cam Ward, I think you have to have someone a little bit more experienced than what you have now in Brandon Allen. I even go back to, listen, Kansas City, because the good part about being a bad team and you get the number one pick, you also get the number one pick when it comes to, you know,
the waiver wire.
So you are the top of the list when it comes to waiver wire. So if there's a quarterback that gets released and you want him on your team, by golly, you have the first choice at him. So you should never be caught off guard, or you should never be sitting there hoping and wishing, oh, if that guy gets released, or I hope he gets released and maybe we can get him. No, you are at the top of the totem pole. You can get him if you want to. But you look at teams like Kansas City, where you have Minshew and you have Bailey Zappe, two guys that have played some games in this league. Gardner Minshew more than Zappe. But you want a backup guy that if you need to start him, he could come in and win you some games. I'm not sure if Brandon Allen is that guy. Maybe a guy like a Gardner Minshew, somebody like that have played in a lot of games, that have, you know, been successful in periods of his career. You make a guy like that Cam Ward's backup, then I'm more open to saying, you know what, if Cam's not ready, then maybe let someone like Gardner Minshew start your season off and allow Cam to develop just a little bit more. But if you don't have somebody like that or better behind your guy, then he might as well play.
Now here's the question, Willie. Would it be counterintuitive to what the Titans want to do if they were to sign a veteran? Let's just use this as an example. Let's say Cam Ward struggles, or the Titans decide Cam Ward's not ready. And I'm just going to say this for the purpose of this conversation. Let's say they sign Carson Wentz off the street. Carson Wentz has been successful in the NFL. He can win you some games. Would that not be counterintuitive to what the Titans want to do? If Cam Ward isn't playing, the Titans probably are better off losing games, right? Because then they'll be back where they were at this past year's draft, picking at the top of the draft, and they can draft, develop, and retain that way. So would signing a more seasoned, more competent backup quarterback actually run counter to what the Titans should be doing when it comes to rebuilding their franchise?
Well, this is where Coach Willie and GM Willie might have a different approach, right? Coach Willie is in the trenches, right? And you want the best possible guy because you have to believe, and this would be Brian Callahan, you got to believe that your team's going to overachieve and Cam Ward's going to be good and you might win a couple early, and maybe your backup is only needed for one or two games, and you want the best possible backup that's out there. That's one way of thinking. The GM, Willie, might be from a more of a, you know, 15,000-foot view saying, look, if Cam Ward's not playing, really what happens the rest of the year doesn't matter as much. We're fine just seeing who's developing, whether you win or lose the game. Brandon Allen, we signed for a reason. Let's just see what he's got. And if we lose all of the games that Cam Ward isn't playing, we're just going to be that much better off in that we will pick higher and be able to get premier players or wield a top five pick into two more picks or three more picks next year, what we didn't do last year. So I want Cam Ward playing and playing well. And I want to, but if he's not playing, who cares who the backup is?
Yeah, your other 50-something players care who the backup
well,
is.
That's Coach Willie. Coach Willie's
yeah,
answer.
Yeah, okay.
GM
okay.
Willie is like, I can't worry about those guys. I got to build a roster. These guys aren't the guys.
I understand that
These aren't the guys that are going to help us win, at least not all of them. We're trying to find guys. Mm-hmm. Like, they need Oladejo and Winston. They need some success stories of guys who overachieve. They need those young guys to show up.
And I was reminded of this. Sorry to interrupt, Eric. I was reminded of this with the news today. I believe it was today that the Los Angeles Rams signed Kyren Williams to a 3-year, $33 million contract extension. This was a tweet from Evan Kaplan. Quote, the Rams drafted Kyren Williams, 2022, and Puka Nacua, 2023, in the fifth round in back-to-back years. Over the last two seasons, Williams is tied for the most scrimmage touchdowns in the NFL, and Nacua is fourth in the league in receiving yards per game since 2023.
That's what the
back-to-back
Titans need that.
Fifth-round picks. Now they are core members of the Los Angeles Rams.
They need one of these fourth-round wide receivers to be good. These are all the things that, man, would that do something for your psyche.
But those guys—
They had none of those.
Yeah, but those guys came in under different pretenses. Those guys came in, Puka Nacua and Williams. It wasn't like the Rams need, like they were in dire need of those guys. Those guys they fit into a system that allowed them to use their talent in a way that it was beneficial. And so when you draft guys like that late and you run a system that is geared toward, you know, ball movement and player movement across the board and finding spaces and creating mismatches, you can draft guys like that because typically they're going to work out for you. When you look at Iron Manor and DK, I'm not sure if they're in that space right now because they need to play. They need to be highly contributing players this season in order for the Tennessee Titans to become a better team. If they're not, then it's going to be a slow pace, especially with the quarterbacks, because the more guys he feel comfortable around, I think the quicker he develops as a quarterback. If he doesn't have those guys that he can depend on, it's going to take that development a little bit longer.
Okay, now here's my other question. Is Brandon Allen, by virtue of just never playing, because basically he's never played in the league. He's been around for a while and barely got into any games, right? How many games did he start? 5 or something like that?
10, I believe.
Has he started 10?
Off the top of my head. I am going to double check that, but I believe the answer is 10.
Okay. So
he has indeed started 10 games in 5 years.
Okay. 10 games in 5 years.
2-8.
2-8. And for the teams were?
He went 1-2 for the Denver Broncos in 2019. 1-4 for the Bengals in 2020. That was after Joe Burrow was injured.
Right.
And 0-1 with the Bengals in 2021. And 0-1 with the San Francisco 49ers in 2024.
So the last 2 or 3 years, he's barely played.
Correct. He started 2 games in the past 3 seasons.
Right. So the starts he made were quite a while ago. So he's kind of an unknown quantity. Mm-hmm. Unlike an Andy Dalton or even a Marcus Mariota, some of the quintessential backups that you hear, Jacoby Brissett, there's the other guy that plug and play. Like, break glass in case you need a backup, Jacoby Brissett is your man.
But those are guys I think you need to have on your team. Like, it wouldn't hurt to have a
Tyrod Taylor, Jacoby Brissett,
or a Gardner Minshew. Why?
Because Gardner Minshew, perfect one.
These guys have had starting experience and a lot of it.
Yeah.
But they're not coming in. They know they're not coming in to be the starter. Sort of like Neil O'Donnell to Steve McNair. Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of
credentials underneath your belt. You have a lot of playing experience underneath your belt, but you're coming here to be the backup of our franchise quarterback. That's what they need to get for Cam Ward, and I'm not sure that Brandon Allen at this point is that guy. So which tells me you got it, like Cam has to start.
So that's the question. This is the essential question. I don't know the answer. Is the difference between Brandon Allen and Jacoby Brissett / Minshew, whoever we think are the best backups, what is that? How do we quantify that?
One,
is it possible he's just as good as those guys? He just hasn't had a chance to play.
One,
I don't know.
One texter makes an interesting suggestion. Ryan in Florida mentions Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston signed a 2-year, $8 million deal with the New York Giants in March. They then drafted Jackson Dart. Jameis Winston was second on the Giants' first unofficial depth chart at quarterback behind Russell Wilson, ahead of Jackson Dart, even though Dart has taken more second-team reps during training camp. So if Jackson Dart beats out Jameis Winston for the backup role, Jameis Winston comes cheap, gets released.
What now? The question is, would somebody trade for Jameis Winston? Or would he indeed get released? So I think about that. I think about Kirk
Depending
Cousins.
Depending on who the team
one.
Is.
The Falcons have set themselves up into a big quandary of what to do with Kirk Cousins.
He can't come here. Kirk Cousins could definitely not
a quandre
come here.
Diggs? A quandre Diggs?
Oh,
you got
very
it.
Nicely done.
Ah, I like that.
Quandre Diggs is back with the Titans, yes. People. But it's almost more costly to cut him than it is to keep him. So even though they're paying him ridiculous amounts of money, it looks like the Falcons might keep him. But these are the kind of guys that I wonder if they hit the market, are the Titans intrigued about that? Or do they have that much confidence that Brandon Allen is the guy? And what's the goal of your backup this year in a rebuilding situation?
615-737-1025. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN reports that the Titans will, quote, monitor free agency or potential trades for veteran quarterbacks over the next month. Your thoughts, 615-737-1025. We will bring in Trevor Maddich into this conversation. Can't wait to get his thoughts as he starts his weekly interviews with us on Your Drive Home. 615-737-1025. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is Boomba's Pizza and Watch Bar, award-winning gourmet pizza, handcrafted beverages, and get swept in the thrill of live sports at Boomba's Pizza and Watch Bar, your go-to spot for good times. Boomba's has locations in East Nashville, I must say. Soon-to-be 4-year-old Arlo Vingan, big fan of Boomba's in East Nashville. There are also locations in Spring Hill and Murfreesboro. So get half off a $30 gift card now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. D. Mace, Vingan and Donick, 1025, 1063, The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. Pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by ESPN analyst Trevor Maddich, brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Hello, Trevor. How are you? We are so glad that you are with us on DVD on Everybody's Drive Home.
I'm great, Adam. I really appreciate you guys having me on. It's going to be fun watching these Titans and see what they do. It's either going to be exciting or it's going to be an absolute train wreck. I'm not sure which one it's going to be, but I can't wait to see it unfold.
To be fair, sometimes watching train wrecks can be exciting. As you know full well.
As long as you're not on the train.
Exactly. Right.
Proverbial train wrecks.
Yeah.
Trevor, as you know, I spent a significant amount of time in the Washington, D.C. area. And I know, as you know full well, the Washington Commanders and the other names that franchise has been known for were so much more interesting when they were a train wreck. So I'm all for a train wreck if that's what the Titans are going to be.
Yeah, how old are you, Adam? I mean,
I am 36.
Yeah, you see, you're not old enough to remember when they weren't a train wreck. They were wrecking everybody else.
Exactly.
Back in the 90s with Joe Theismann and Darryl Green and all those guys, you know, they were fun back then, too.
Yes, yeah. I regularly bring up Robert Griffin III's rookie season. I was living in D.C. at the time. It was such a great season, but then he injured himself in the playoff game against Seattle, and everything just fell apart from there. But it was so much more interesting when everything started falling apart. So if the Titans are a train wreck, I would rather watch a bad team that's a train wreck than a bad team that is boring. But let us
just don't be boring. Yeah,
precisely. So let's talk about those Tennessee Titans. We were just discussing a report, let's call it, from ESPN analyst Jeremy Fowler, ESPN reporter Jeremy Fowler. He said, quote, "While the Titans have been pleased with Brandon Allen's presence as the primary backup quarterback, they will monitor free agency or potential trades for veterans over the next month." How seriously should the Titans monitor free agency or potential trades for a veteran backup with Cam Ward and the potential that he will struggle in his rookie season?
I think they absolutely should. I mean, really, it depends on what they expect this year. If they think that the team has improved enough with the draft and free agency that they could, if they catch a break with injuries, go out there and compete for a division championship, they're going to have a backup quarterback that can take them that far. And can Brandon Allen do it? I mean, he's been in the league since 2016. He hasn't done a whole lot, at least not very successfully, on the field since then. But he's got an NFL arm. He's got an NFL brain. And, you know, if the coach thinks he can step in without much successful experience, if something happens with Cam Ward, and get him to compete on for a division championship and possibly beyond, then great. If he's not sure about that, he owes it to the rest of the team. This is now the coach and the general manager. They owe it to the rest of the players to look for a backup quarterback that can at least do that. Typically, if you've got a quarterback who's good enough to take you deep into the playoffs, he's not going to be a backup. He'll be starting for you or for somebody else, and he won't be available. But there are plenty of guys that are good enough to at least maximize the team that's there, not to elevate the rest of the guys beyond what they're capable of naturally, but at least to get the other guys involved and to limit mistakes of his own, that this team can go as far as it can organically. And they owe it to the rest of the team to make sure that the backup quarterback can do that, whether it's Brandon Allen or anybody else. But if they do bring in a veteran, I think it sends a signal to the rest of the team that, yeah, you know, we expect to run with Cam Ward, but if something happens with him, we want somebody in that can maximize you guys now, because we respect your careers. And now, that's something that I don't think they got the impression of when Will Levis was going through his complete mental breakdowns early in the season last year, and yet the coach kept praising him. The coach kept letting him play. And so I would think that the signal that sends to the rest of the team would be just as important as the actual ability on the field.
Now, I hear what you're saying, Trevor, because Derek said the same thing as a former player as well, that the other players in the locker room want to feel like they have a chance to win. Now, the counter argument would be, would it not be counterintuitive for a rebuilding team to bring in a veteran backup quarterback, a more seasoned veteran backup quarterback that could help them win more games if it means hurting their draft position? Because the Titans need all the help they can get. And if Cam Ward isn't ready, you put Brandon Allen out there, you're not going to be winning very many games. But in the long run, would that not be a good thing if they were to pick again high and try to rebuild their team to be competitive soon?
I think that's a fun exercise for fans, and I see why you bring it up. But if that's their goal, they really should take the backup quarterback, Brandon Allen, who's on the team now, and start him at right tackle. Because they're less likely to win. And if they're not going to go to the Super Bowl, they might as well get a better draft pick, a higher pick, right? And so, I mean, have the punter be their wide receiver number one. Let Calvin Ridley watch from the bench. The problem that you have is culture. In college, culture is massive because you've got a lot of young guys that are learning how to act as a football player on that level, at a high level. In the NFL, it's just as important because now you've got professional athletes with kids in school that are many of them, if not most, are making millions of dollars a year. And if the culture is such that the players think that this is all about me and it's not about us, you're not going to maximize the potential of the team anyway. And so, you know, if the players think that for some reason the folks upstairs are trying to sabotage things to get a better draft pick because, you know, over the next 5 or 10 years it will be better if we get a better draft pick and we're not going to really go anywhere this year anyhow, well, then the culture becomes me. it doesn't become we. It doesn't become sell out to do everything you can to help your teammates win. The culture becomes, yeah, I'm going to go out and do what makes me look good on tape in case I become a free agent. And in the meantime, I'm going to make sure I don't get hurt because we're not playing for anything anyway this year. And so I just can't fathom as a player that was in those locker rooms for as many years as I was that the upstairs brain trust would ever give an iota of an impression of the players in the locker room that their main goal is to get a higher draft pick. That would be disgusting beyond belief.
You're right about that, Trevor. I don't think you can go into a situation like the Titans, and if Cam's not ready, or say, you know, by some chance he misses games or miss half the season and he can't finish it out, and the upper management is thinking more about their draft position rather than to, you know, go out there and try to put the best product on the field, especially for those other guys. I just couldn't see a organization just doing that so noticeably where those other guys sort of feel it. But sticking with Cam here, obviously they have their preseason game coming up this weekend, but they're going to be practicing against Tampa and Atlanta right before those preseason games. What is it that you would like to see from your rookie quarterback in situations like this? Because the whole week, it's been up and down here in Nashville with the Titans, so much so that Brian Callahan just got fed up with it and blew a gasket after the other day's practice about the offense not being, you know, as fluid and as precise as he wanted it to be. We know it's about production, but we also know it's about developing your quarterback. A lot of times now, they're all about stats in practice. We see it across the board from ESPN to any other outlet. They're always talking about the quarterback 9-7, you know, in this period, or 5-10 in this period. What is it that you want to see beyond that from Cam Ward in these two preseason games, but the practices more importantly before the games?
You know, I want to see him, Derek, protect himself. Mm-hmm. Both in the drills with the Buccaneers, and especially in a game situation when they play the preseason game against the Buccaneers. Now, by protect himself, I don't mean avoid injury, although that would be a bonus. What I mean is do the things that quarterbacks have to do when you get into the regular season to protect themselves. The first thing is get into the right protection, get into the right play, so that you don't have defenders having an advantage coming blasting in on you unblocked or with a blocking mismatch. That's one thing. Another thing is understand where to go with the football. In other words, the defense in the regular season before the snap will have a disguise on what the coverage and blitz might be, et cetera. Less so in the preseason, but this is something you've got to be ready for. Then at the snap, they shift into what the real coverage, the real pressure package will be. The quarterback needs to, after the snap, see what the defense is doing and know immediately where to go with the ball before he gets to the back of his drop, at least where his first and second progressions will be. Maybe not the third and maybe not the fourth, but certainly where the first and the second will be, because part of protecting himself is getting the ball out of his hand on time so that the pass rush doesn't have time to get there. And then, but I'd be happy if he knows in the preseason against simplified coverages, if he will know where the first and second options are based on what the defense does after the snap. But then the last part of protecting himself is know where his answers are. In other words, if there's pressure coming from the right and I don't have time to go through my regular progressions, where's the answer? Where's my outlet? Where do I dump the ball off? Or if I don't have a place to dump the ball off, I need to know that before the pressure gets to me so I can throw it away. And sometimes you watch Tom Brady play, especially later in his career, when pressure got to him early, Brady wouldn't throw it short or even throw it away. Sometimes Brady would just have a seat. He would literally just sit down in the pocket so he wouldn't take a big hit, survive to run the next play. And the reason for that was because he didn't have a good answer on that play. But he knew that, and so he sat down instead of trying to extend the play and have the ball knocked out of his hand or have his head knocked clean off his shoulders or whatever would happen. So these are all things that a young quarterback must do to protect himself. And not coincidentally, they're also the things that a young quarterback must learn to do as time goes on to be able to succeed at the position. But if the quarterback doesn't know where to go with the ball, he can't play, and he shouldn't play. Not yet. And if a quarterback doesn't know where his answers are, then he can't play and he shouldn't play. Not yet. You can build once he gets to that, but you can't build if he doesn't have that.
We'll talk with Trevor Maddich, ESPN NFL analyst, as well as college football analyst. Now, leading up to these preseason games, based upon your experience playing in this league and then obviously watching it for so many years, what is the best course of action in playing a rookie quarterback during preseason? Because we know Cam has been taking bulk of the snaps with the first team offense. How long then, after practicing with a team for a few days, how long should you play that guy in a preseason game? Should you let him get a quarter and get him on out of there because you've seen enough in the practices, or you just gauge it by how the offense is looking?
Derek, I want to know what you think about this because, I mean, you played in the league forever at a very high level, and I'm interested to see if you and I agree on this because I think in this situation where Cam Ward has to be ready for week one because he's going to be the starter unless he's just a complete and utter train wreck, I don't think you put him in for two series like teams often will do in the first preseason game or the second preseason game as well. I think he needs to have a lot of time in there. So keep the starting offensive line in and let him play, in my opinion, well into the second quarter, maybe even the entire first half, because he needs the experience of being behind center when it's a game situation. And that game situation is relatively easy for him to decipher. And the Buccaneers, their first opponent, will very likely play on defense, their starters for a series or two, and then the backups come in. And then by the time you get later in the first half, Cam will be facing guys that probably won't be in the league this coming season. But that'll make it easier for him to kind of get from first year into second year, and maybe even into the third year a little bit. But he needs those kinds of reps, those kinds of game reps. And if you play him for two series and that's it, then you're taking away from the rest of the team the opportunity to have this young quarterback be as ready as he possibly could for week one of the regular season. So in my opinion, Derek, mm-hmm. I think they should play him a lot throughout the entire preseason.
Before I pass it to Willie, I'm with you on that because I think, and you have to explain it to your veteran guys too on it, because I've been in that situation with Joe Flacco. The offensive coordinator comes to you and say, hey, listen, you may end up playing a couple more snaps than what we want you to play, but our rookie quarterback is going to be in the game and we need you out there. Everybody's in agreement. I think that's the way Brian Callahan should approach the offensive line as well as the receivers. Calvin Ridley, Van Jefferson, y'all guys.
Tyler Lockett, said, I came here to play with
exactly.
Cam.
Exactly. So
he said.
If Cam's, when Cam's in a game, y'all in a game. When he's out, that's when y'all are out.
Hey, Trevor, let's sneak one in on the college level. I think we're all really intrigued in the fallout of the whole Nico thing with Tennessee about how, presuming that Joey Aguilar at least gets the first crack at it, being that he's an older guy and he has played, what have you found out as you've studied him or talked to people like you do? What's the expectation level in your mind on Aguilar?
You know, I think he's going to be good. I think he'll be one of those guys that will take the team as far as the team can go, like we talked about a minute ago in the NFL. I don't know that he's good enough to elevate the Volunteers beyond what they would normally be. Just because, you know, in order to do that, he would have to defeat SEC defenses in his first year going against these SEC defenses as a member of the conference. And I'm not sure that he's got that ability. Now, maybe he does. I know 2 years ago at App State, he was fantastic. Last year, he struggled a bit. He lost some of the guys that helped him out the year before. But I think he's very experienced. I think he's savvy. I think he's competitive. And I think he is plenty good enough to take this team as far as the rest of the team is able to go. But do keep in mind that they're replacing their top three wide receivers, four offensive linemen, the all-timer of a running back. I mean, this is a complete rebuild on the offensive side of the ball. And so, you know, his experience of knowing where his answers are, that kind of thing, I think will really help, you know, this offense not get bogged down as much as it could. The other guys, I mean, you've got a true freshman who's probably the most talented of all, but he's got no experience at all in the offense. And you've got a redshirt freshman who is also talented, but and he's got 1 year in the offense, but, you know, that doesn't have a whole lot of game experience. And so, you know, I really think Joey Aguilar, if he understands what success looks like for him, in other words, success is not doing what Cam Ward did in Miami, which is to say every play needs to be a home run and he's going to extend every play and he doesn't want to throw the 4 yard check down on second and six because, you know, that's not a big hero play and that won't get him the Heisman. You know, as long as he understands what success looks like from his position this year, then I think he'll do a very good job.
Trevor Maddich, ESPN analyst, joining us on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trevor, great stuff as always. Looking forward to chatting with you every Tuesday. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, guys.
Always a pleasure to have Trevor Maddich on our airwave. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by Wilson County. Hyundai.com, as I said at the top of the hour, Willie levied a serious charge against me when I was on vacation. And now I'm going to respond. We'll do that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. You're probably thinking, what a strange choice for a sports talk show.
I was just thinking, what a strange choice.
But there is a reason for this, because that is the song that plays in the final minute of warm-ups at Cameron Indoor Stadium.
Wow. I did not know this.
Wow. That is what happens. And the reason I wanted to play that song, and I mentioned Cameron Indoor Stadium, is last week, Willie, when I was on vacation, levied a serious charge against me. Willie, for those who missed it, explain what the gym rat rule is before I defend my honor.
Okay, so Adam and his family, they were driving and passing through Durham.
Yes.
And Adam, with a lot of pride as a Duke basketball fan, born in Durham, North Carolina, wants to take his young son, Arlo, and show him the land of Krzyzewskiville.
Yes.
And get into Cameron Indoor Stadium.
Let him smell some of that. Let him smell it.
That's a sports dad kind of thing.
Third generation Duke fan,
yeah.
Arlo Vingan.
So get him in there. And he sends a picture of, you know, Arlo looking up from the outside of the building at Cameron Indoor Stadium, like, wow. Now, you have to understand, the Cameron Indoor Stadium looks like a chemistry department. It could just as easily be a classroom than a gym. You're like, that's the gym? That's where Duke plays? But when you get in there, it's a very special thing. So, of course, my question to Adam after he sends this great picture, did you guys go in the gym? And the answer comes back, no.
No.
I was like, what? Now, I didn't ask why, but I said, Adam, you did not know the rule of the gym rat, and that is that the gym is always open.
There's always a door
open. There's always a door open, and the gym rat will never be denied.
Come on, Adam.
Access to the gym.
Or a window.
Windows count.
Yep.
And so when you find the open door, because it's an older gym. The older the gym, usually the easier it is to find the window or the door that's cracked to get in there. So you can't take no for an answer. So I was wondering what kind of attempt happened here. Like, did security throw you out? Because I have been thrown out of Cameron Indoor Stadium.
By Mike Krzyzewski.
By Mike Krzyzewski himself, and there was a lot of profanity involved.
You got that's thrown out?
Oh, yeah. George Plaster and I both got tossed on the day of a game. That's a whole nother story. But I was wondering if, like, somebody was working, like a custodian or something. There's all these ways for the rule of the gym rat to get in there. So I was very disappointed that you passed up this opportunity. So what happened?
I can answer this question not in one word, but in one sound effect. Which? What? Let me set the stage.
Were you chased by somebody from the Duke security team or something?
No.
Oh.
Let me set the stage. As you said, we were driving from Nashville to the Outer Banks of North Carolina. We did the drive in 2 days. So Durham was a natural stopping point. It's a roughly 8-hour drive from Nashville. We were going to stop there for the night and continue the drive the next day. But I told my wife I wanted to stop by Duke, show Arlo Cameron Indoor Stadium. I haven't had a chance to take Arlo to a game yet. So we drove on the campus. We parked the car. It was oppressively hot. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
It had to have been 110 degrees. And it felt even hotter because we were in an air-conditioned car all day. We had been driving again for roughly 8 hours. Made a couple of stops. We were up early, so we were all tired. Arlo was a little cranky as well. And my wife did not explicitly say, Adam, we are not spending a lot of time here, but I sensed it.
You sensed it.
You felt the pressure. It was an unspoken
kind of like this, you know, the back of your neck tingling a little bit, like, okay, the clock is ticking here.
Right. It was an unspoken.
Yeah.
What's the word?
A vibe that she gave off.
Right. Like, so I made it quick. Mm-hmm. I made it quick.
You made it quick.
Now, had I been there by myself or with my father, maybe we would have.
You would have explored.
Explored.
Did you at least circumvent the gym and look for a quick door open? Like, did you push it and say, Bridget, we're just going to take one quick lap around just to see if there's a door open?
Arlo did say, can I open the door? And I said, no.
What?
What?
Well, you didn't even test the door?
No, he tried. He tried. He said, can I open the door? I said, it's going to be locked. And he tried it, and it was locked. And he goes, why is it locked? I said, well, it's not basketball season, bud. So again, I can answer this question not in one word, but in one sound effect. Whoosh!
Whipped.
Men out there, you know it. You know when your wives, they're not going to say it.
They're running the show.
Because they want you to sense it. They don't have to say anything. The vibe is, you better not take a trip around this building looking for an open door. We got to get to the hotel.
Did you invite her to say, hey, have you ever seen the inside of Cameron Indoor Stadium? Let's just see if
my
the door's open.
My wife doesn't care.
She wasn't worried about it?
No.
See, the problem is this. You should have said, hey, we're going in, Arlo and I, because you got to make it so, because the only way you get through this is if they see the look on the kid's face. If the mom sees the look on the kid's face that the kid want to go and do it, then they're going to be like, okay, just hurry up. But if you don't, you and Arlo ain't in cahoots, man, you would never win. Because if you say, hey, I'm going to take Arlo, and she look at your face and look at Arlo's face and Arlo really don't care, she going to say, nope, mm-mm. We keep going. But if Arlo looks at her with those eyes, start to well up a little bit, yeah, you can take him off. Then you can take your time. You can take your time, yeah.
The good news is we stopped by the team store, which is around Cameron Indoor Stadium. Arlo picked out a little Duke basketball, started dribbling it. We were playing with it on our vacation. So
we got a Dukie in the making?
Well, he certainly is not going to inherit any athletic genes if I have anything to do with it. But hopefully he'll grow to be at least 6 to 7 inches taller than his father, and maybe he'll be back there in 15 years.
I just want the next time, just a little different thinking.
Yeah.
Maybe just present it a little bit earlier that this is what you would like to do. Just always remember, part of the rule of the gym rat is they cannot throw you out of there if your answer to how you got in is the door was open.
Door was open. I thought I could come in.
That's where the gym rats always
It also starts right now, too. You got to continue to drill in into Arlo's head. Like, dude, just because he's going to want to go.
Sneaking in like a $5 bill. It's like, hey, you know, let's try to up this up a little bit.
And also remember this. Arlo can get into windows that you can't get into.
Exactly.
So he could get through the window and open up the door that was locked, and you're in. That is how a gym rat operates.
Yeah. I mean,
you got to get the blueprint of the building.
Whoa, we're going to Ocean's 11 on the Cameron Indoor?
Now we're really getting into the sinister
exactly.
stuff now.
When Homer
we
Simpson,
will get into this, Jim.
Exactly.
When Homer Simpson was dispensing fatherly advice to Bart one time, he said, just learn these key phrases, one of which was, it was like that when I got here.
There you go.
Perfect.
Perfect. So, now we accept
you,
that.
Now you get all right. I just had to respond to that. So there it is. Two quick texts. Joey from Bellevue said, Adam, you're a terrible dancer because I started dancing on the stream. D-May, show him a thing or two. The YouTube stream caught everything. And then one texter said, go Heels. Puke sucks.
That's a little rude.
Rude. 615-737-1025. We will get back into the Titans. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.